Good evening, this is Milton Rosenberg. Welcome again to Extension 720.
Good evening, this is Milton Rosenberg. We welcome you again to Extension 720.
Good evening, this is Milton Rosenberg. Welcome again to Extension 720. Hello to all, this is Milton Rosenberg.
We'll talk about that tonight on Extension 720.
Welcome to Extension 720 here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. On the show tonight, we explore the idea of place. First off, we continue our tour of the places and people that make up this great city. Our Chicago neighborhood tour takes us to Beverly, a place that upon first glance looks like it's not aged at all. As you drive up 99th Street, you get the feeling that this is a moment in history. But the Southwest Side neighborhood is changing, as evidenced by the budding small businesses by the train station. That conversation with Aaron Shea Smith coming up. Also tonight, we're at a place in time less than a week before Chicago makes history by electing the first African-American woman to lead the city. But that's not all that's on the ballot. Heather Cherone and A.D. Quigg are in studio tonight to talk about the races in the runoff. And comedian Rena Kalm is a great person to talk to about place. She's been touring the country nonstop over the past year and has no place to call home. The Chicago comedian gave up her apartment to live that tour life, so what's it like to have no place to call home? We'll talk to Rena about that. And tonight, a new game show of sorts. Chicago rock on tour Scott Goldstein joins me for the inaugural voyage of a new segment we're calling That Used to Be. Chicago continues to evolve. Old businesses and landmarks morph into new startups and land grabs. Do you remember where the old Weebolts was? Or how about Burt Wineman Ford? Then this segment's for you. 312-981-7200 later in the 9 o'clock hour. That's all tonight on Extension 720 here on WGN. But first, The Places I've Been is the name we're going for this episode. These past couple weeks, Pete and I have crisscrossed the city covering stories for the upcoming election. And for all the convos about the different people, the cross streets, and even the politics, the buildings of Chicago tell a different story. If you're at Belmont and Central or 83rd and Halsted, well, it's hard to tell the difference. Don't get me wrong, I'm well aware of the different levels of investment and economic development. The poverty issue, it's real in the city. But if I'm standing at 71st and Chappelle, Chappelle's a street lined with rust-colored two-flats, it's hard to discern the difference between, I don't know, Wilson and Malden in Uptown, or Diversey and Laramie on the Northwest Side. It's unique to see a city from so many angles, looking the same. But place isn't just about the built space around us. Place is also where we are, or where we want to go, or where we don't want to leave. We spend a lot of our lives trying to find the place that feels right. Whether that's your circle of friends, your line of work, your religion, or just your headspace. Oh, at this point, you may be wondering why I'm not talking to you from our studios. I'm out in the field. I'm at the corner of Lunt and Glenwood in Chicago's Rogers Park. It's a building that once housed the Heartland Cafe, a restaurant, and it just closed. As I reflect on what place means to me, I think of this place and what it meant to others as well. I had my first drink at the bar here. I spent many a night meeting with friends to drink coffee and tea. I remember watching the Cubs get swept by Atlanta in the first round of the playoffs here. And I did theater in the back of this building 20 years ago this month. And today, it's gone. The building still stands, almost taunting the residents of Rogers Park who walk by to get to the train or to Sheridan Road. It used to be a place that time forgot, until time caught up with it. More to come tonight. The Places I've Been, Extension 720. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Chicago, the city of big shoulders, the windy city, the city that works. A blue-collar town with white-collar ambitions, but Chicago isn't glass towers and river walks. Nope, Chicago is a neighborhood town. We continue our tour of Chicago neighborhoods before the runoff election. Tonight, let's go down to Beverly. Beverly is as much a Chicago neighborhood as it is its own village. It's situated on the southwest side between 87th and 107th, roughly between Vincennes and Western. It's a historic place, made up mostly of Irish Americans. The family-oriented area is not like any other Chicago neighborhood. First off, it's got hills. It's also home to police officers, firefighters, and other city workers. Politically, Beverly is the 19th Ward, and the 19th Ward is the heart and soul of the old Chicago machine. The political forces here joined with Bridgeport to elect a half a century of dailies. But don't look for those names to adorn honorary street signs. Instead, you get Sheehan, Joyce, Rugai, Ducey. But those names represent the past. And for all the nostalgia that Beverly preserves, new businesses and new residents are moving in. Take that stretch along Walden by the 99th Street train station. New businesses are popping up left and right. My guest to talk Beverly? How about one of those new residents? To be fair, Aaron Shea Smith moved to Beverly 10 years ago. But let's face it, if you weren't born in Beverly, you're always going to be new. I met Aaron when she used to work at Chicago. She's now an editorial content director at a downtown firm. She's a mom to an 8-year-old, and she's totally invested in her community. We met at B-Sides, a coffee shop that is one of those new businesses along Walden Street, where they play vinyl when you sip your latte. A perfect place to talk about the old and the new. This is a nice spot. I like this.
It's funny. When my husband Scott and I first moved to the neighborhood, there weren't as many communal spaces as they are now. And B-Sides is a perfect example of a very welcoming, unique, local establishment. And when he and I first got here, we went up and down Western Avenue and tried to find a bar. Our place. Scott himself was very committed to that endeavor. And, you know, he came back and he said, you know, he's like, I know we'll get there. And then we found out other people had the same feeling. So if you think about what's important in Beverly, I mean, I grew up with my dad. My dad worked over at 95th and Western when I was a kid in the 80s. So I always heard about, you know, what Beverly was like. I grew up in Joliet. And so, you know, we came up here every year for the Southside Parade, but you know, it was this established place. And so when we decided to buy a home here in 2009, I knew that there was already that sense of community.
Right?
But it felt hard to break into. And so as we kind of went along and we met other people who felt similarly, and then all of a sudden at about 2010, 2011... we just started noticing more and more civic efforts being made. More and more folks opening up their own restaurants, shops, expanding shops.
New businesses. Cater to a younger crowd, maybe not just the old school Beverly crowd.
And I think that's true. You know, it's interesting, having just come from a celebration alive, a very long time, very entrenched Beverly, almost native. It was interesting to hear about, you know, all of those kind of old school stories, all of the fabric that makes up this place, and to know that, you know, that stuff is still true. But I think for a lot of folks who are, you know, not from the neighborhood, that's also a real threat, or it's at least a real, like, concern.
Yeah, I always think Beverly to be a little bit of a dichotomy of what Chicago is like and the way that it has its old school vibe and its old school neighborhood and its connections and its all of its cylinders firing when it comes to the families and everyone lives here. But it's also home to a lot of new people who are coming in and establishing new families, things like that. How does it balance it? How does it make sure that it's not too much of one thing or too much of another?
I think we're at a precipice right now. You know, we still have a lot of the segregation and racial issues that are prevalent in the city. And I think there's a lot of folks who see that as not core to who we are here, but certainly something impactful in that old school, new school vibe. So groups like the Southwest Diversity Collaborative have established to make sure that folks who feel as though, you know, they don't know where they belong here, but they know they want to belong here, have someone who is listening to them, who's speaking up for them. And what's beautiful about it is that it is made up of people who are part of that old school. Mm-hmm. So you got to play the long game around here. And I think most, you know, Chicagoans know that.
Yeah, right.
And I think for folks who are new, being connected and having that outstretched hand has made it a bit easier.
You know, this is the 19th ward, and it's really interesting because there are a lot of wards that were old school, like, let's say, Bucktown or maybe Logan Square.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that we're even talking about here, where they're turning over a progressive leaf, where they're going in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily, that's not the first thing you think about when you think of Beverly.
No.
Beverly's still old school Democrat. This is a more middle of the road, almost Republican area.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, it's funny to me to look at the idea of Democratic politics and Republican politics within the lens of down here, because it's just not reflective. I would say that, you know, I grew up with a dad who was, you know, old school Democrat as well, was incredibly involved in politics. It doesn't look like anything that progressive politics. He says to me now, he's like, Aaron, nobody's progressive enough for you. So no one around here would ever consider themselves, I mean, not no one, but would consider themselves not a Democrat, but it's in that very dyed-in-the-wool, old-school kind of way. In my block alone, like, my husband and I have a Black Lives Matter sign in our yard, and two signs down, you've got somebody who's got one of the first responder flags up. We don't have any problems. To me,
it's
I think
the contrast, right?
But it's the contrast. And I would say that, you know, when you asked about how things have shifted and changed and how does the old school and the new school, to me, that feels symbolic of the efforts that people are trying to make to not hide some of that diversity, to kind of find a way to embrace it. You know, there are some still truisms about how things get done around here, but I would argue that I think Scott and I bought when the housing market tanked. And so my dad was an appraiser at the time, and he said, you're never going to get a better time to get into that neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
He said, because for the house you bought, what you would have paid for it back in the day, like, you couldn't have afforded it. And so I think a lot of people had the same experience. And so all of a sudden you had a lot of new folks coming in here that might not have before. So maybe some of it was inevitable.
The 19th Ward, and when you think of neighborhoods like Beverly or just to the west of you, Mount Greenwood, there'll be a lot of first responders.
Yep.
This is a law and order neighborhood,
it is.
And it has been. And a lot of your neighbors are city workers and people who've worked in there. And they have voted a certain way for the Democratic machine, if you will, for years.
Yep.
You've seen that crumble a little bit, as there's not a machine candidate, if you will.
There
are people who may be closer to it than they have. But how do you see this neighborhood, especially in this last election, voting? I mean, is this an area that sits out an April 2nd runoff election?
No.
No, this is not a neighborhood that sits out.
This neighborhood does not sit out.
I feel like we've got data to back that up. The Jerry Joyce not being part of it, I think, certainly impacted this neighborhood hard. You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a Jerry Joyce sign somewhere, and they're still up. He's a good man who was incredibly well respected around here, and I think that was there was a you know, big wash of enthusiasm, you know, which is not unexpected. I have not seen or heard either of the candidates pick up where that left off, although, you know, Joyce did endorse Lightfoot. Mm-hmm. I have seen more Lightfoot signs around here than not. And I don't know if that's a byproduct of a campaign or if it's, you know, people who are truly supportive.
Beyond the names in this election, what are the issues in Beverly? Are they similar to the other issues that if you're watching a debate that you're like, oh, it's economic development, it's taxes, it's crime. Are they all the same down here that
it's
they are saying?
It's schools. A friend of mine who has a business down here, you know, said to me years ago that, you know, when she did some market research, she talked about the fact that one of the hardest things for folks who are starting a business is to get around the fact that anybody's money, and I'm not talking about private school, I'm just talking about in general, goes to their kids. So around here, people aren't just concerned about where their kids go to school, but where all the kids in the neighborhood are going to school. I will say that part of it is because my husband and I got very involved when there was an attempt to close a plus one school. I didn't know what a plus one school was. I was a longtime Catholic school kid, and I didn't have a kid yet, so I didn't know any of that stuff. But around here, it was first and foremost on the front of everybody's mind whether or not your kids were going to school there or not.
Right.
And it was effective. So I think in a neighborhood like this, you know, schools being first isn't surprising, taxes being second. taxes being second.
The Southside Irish Parade came and went. The story that lingered after that was with flyers that were found on the route and connections to white nationalist groups.
Right.
It seems more often than not that kind of news story rears its head coming from this area. That's not the case. But what do you think, being a resident who's been here for 10 years, about that kind of thing?
So I grew up knowing that this area had a great amount of racial tension. I would say, and I'll get in trouble for this, but I'll live with it, that there are some very clear dividing lines around the neighborhood as to where that stuff is quote-unquote acceptable. And we have made it our own personal effort as a family to be very vocal, because it concerns me that there's any line around here where that's acceptable.
I would think that it not just, you know, the idea that, you know, it exists, which is terrible for it to exist.
But it does.
But to have it exist in your neighborhood.
Except the thing is, though, it exists in every neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not you're willing to acknowledge it and then do something about it. I think the hard part about being from Beverly, Morgan Park, Mount Greenwood, is that the assumptive stereotypes are all around white Irish people. And as an enclave, that's where a goodly amount of its tradition and everything else comes from. But that's about, you know, privilege, machine, all of the things that most of us know about. And the reality is, you know, we are a hop, skip, and a jump from some of the most poor and violent neighborhoods in the city. And it's hard not to pay attention to community Facebook boards and conversations and people who are, you know, worried about people coming in and this horrible kind of language about, you know, people coming in, as opposed to, you do know that people of all kinds of ethnicities have been living here for a while, but you like the idea and the veneer that this is a Southside Irish neighborhood.
Yeah.
It is, but that's not the only thing that makes up this neighborhood. And it's a really convenient thing for people to say that, you know, you're changing it, but it's always been there. This diversity has always been there, and the problems have always been there.
That's Aaron J. Smith in Beverly at B-Sides Coffee, right there at 99th and Walden, part of our Chicago neighborhood tour. Tomorrow night, we'll bring you a double whammy. We're going to give you Bucktown and Andersonville tomorrow night. So we got two coming your way as we continue our Chicago neighborhood tour before the runoff election. More to come here on Extension 720, so stay with us.
Back to Extension 720 on 720 WGN.
I've been looking forward to this segment for a very long time. Tonight is the inaugural voyage of a new segment we're calling That Used to Be. It's a very simple game. We're playing with Scott Goldstein coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, kind of with the theme we've got going with place. We are going to throw out addresses. You call up, we throw out an address, you guess where that place is, boom, you get a prize. Probably the simplest concept in the history of Chicago media. But it's one that everybody knows because everybody plays it. I feel like I can't be the only one, and I know this because I talked to Pete Zimmerman and I talked to Scott Goldstein, who's coming in later, and others who feel like it's a rite of passage, if not something you do with your family and friends on a regular basis if you live in Chicago. Right, Pete?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And did we mention the prize?
Yes, we have not mentioned one of the prizes. That's the thing. Like, you know, we're hoping that this will... I have a slew of addresses. Scott's got a slew of addresses. But the big prize tonight, White Sox tickets.
Yeah.
How about that? We twisted some arms over here. Usually we're left out of that.
Right.
They give that to the Cochrane Show.
Yep.
Maybe Rokan. But they're giving Extension 720 some love.
It's a playoff game.
Yeah.
A Sox playoff game.
That's right. It's a Sox playoff. To be named. To be named.
To be named.
To be named later. So, yeah, we're going to give it. So here's an idea, Pete. I'm going to throw an address at you.
All right, go ahead. Shoot.
I have a list of them here. I'll give you one on the north side, close to your house.
All right.
4812 North Clark Street. What did that used to be?
That used to be the, that was a roller rink. It was Rainbow?
Yes.
Rainbow,
good
roller rink. Yeah.
Look at that. You know, you ruined one.
It's condos.
Now it's condos.
It's condos.
That's right. We were up today. We were out. We were close by Belmont and Clark. Pete and I were collecting audio for the show. And we were trying to get people to point at the Target across the way to say, remember when this was the Dunkin' Donuts, the famed Punkin' Donuts? There were at least three, four, five people that walked by, and they're like, no, I don't know what was there.
Mm-hmm.
This Target has always been. I just moved here.
Right.
This Target has always been. I've only been here for 2 years. This has always been a Target. And that blows my mind. I had a hard time. I felt I turned into my dad in the way that I started to explain Chicago history to them. Yeah. I should have just let them go because they couldn't answer the question on mic. But I'm like, you know, that used to be.
Yeah, you did.
They were so nonplussed, be the right.
They were kind of walking away from you.
And I'm like,
hold on, hold on.
You need to know the history of this neighborhood. So 312-981-7200. That's coming up here on Extension 720. Rena Kalm is up next. We're going to take our break a little bit early here so we can get Rena in studio, and then we'll have more time to talk to her about her life as a stand-up comedian on the road, living without a place. That's Extension 720. Stay with us. It's Extension 720. I'm Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in on place. This is what we're talking about tonight. My guest right now in studio is a stand-up comedian who's in Chicago this week, playing at the Comedy Bar tonight and Laugh Factory tomorrow night for the Just for Laughs audition showcase. Rena Kalm is a veteran of the Chicago comedy scene. If you were hitting up the clubs back in, say, 2017, 2018, chances are you saw Rena on stage a few times a week. But it was 2 years ago when Rena decided that she wanted to get out and see the world. So she worked hard to book her own national tour, and she hit the road. First, it was a trip to the East Coast, then the other way, out to California, then a full trip to the Midwest, and why not put some more miles on the car and hit the South? Turns out Rena just kept touring and touring and touring. So much so she realized the expenses piling up in Chicago where her home was, they were not worth it. So she dumped the apartment. She effectively is living on the road without a home. As we explore the place tonight, Rena Kalm is here to talk about her passion for performing and that tour life and what life is like when there is no place to call home. Rena Kalm, my guest on Extension 720. Good to see you.
Hi. So great to be here. Great to see you, too.
Yeah. And so I've been following this and on and off for the last couple of years. I've been trying to get you in here, and it really has been. I'm not in Chicago. And that's hard. That's hard to fathom because I've known you as a Chicago comedian all your life. Talk about the decision back in 2018 to go on the road.
Everything, including me doing comedy, feels like a series of well-timed accidents and just strange decisions that led to this point. And I really started planning tours for practical reasons, like to get to family events and trying to like make sense of getting my way down there. I never even had a car for the first, you know, decade I lived in Chicago, because you definitely don't need one. As I just found out, trying to get here at the new offices, my GPS went all out of whacker. Am I kidding? Okay. I'm not. It's terrible down here with the GPS. You think they could figure it out. Anyway, other than that, great city. But yeah, it was always like for family stuff, and I would just, I guess, like compulsively book myself in other cities, plan everything like an escape room, just put one down really far away on the map and then try to figure it out.
One of the things that comes with being a comedian, and it may be a stereotype, is that they are disorganized, that comedians are performers first and business people second.
Mm-hmm.
You have had the you have the ability to organize and to be someone who can put together tours. That has to help you in trying to push past the family event and saying, you know what, I can go further to Oregon, or maybe pop that down back down to California and then hit over to Colorado, that kind of thing.
I finally started like trying to map out places that I just really wanted to go in the tour planning, and that definitely helped my mental health. seeing new places. Long story short, which it is quite a story altogether, but my new goal, because I think in anything you do, but for me it's comedy, I think it's important to always make new goals for yourself and always focus on like the next thing while you're doing the current mm-hmm. thing, which may be a way of never enjoying anything. I don't know. No, I'm having a great time. But I started planning stuff out a little further ahead of time and like trying to book new stuff. And so now I've ramped up to this weird frenzied pace that I'm comfortable in, and I'm trying to make my new goal. I mean, I have made it my new goal. I'm trying to accomplish this new goal of hitting all 50 states, because in comedy, you're always trying to have credits that people have heard of. And I feel like everyone has heard of the 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like Alaska and Hawaii will be quite a drive, but
she'll make it happen.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
I believe you will. And, you know, the interesting part of your story, of course, is giving up the apartment. And I want to get to that and this idea of living without a home. But for you, a lot of comedians, they're going to make the move out of Chicago and relocate. Mm-hmm. They might say, you know what, I'm going to go to L.A. Or maybe I'm going to go to New York City and wherever the commerce is at, I'm ready to do it. Why not make that choice as a comedian to say, you know what, I'm going to go there and set up shop and figure out what I'm going to do next in my life?
I mean, I think I moved to Chicago to get a backdoor entrance kind of into New York and L.A. comedy scenes. And I feel great about the connections I've made in both of those cities. This is like a huge question for me to think about and explain, because there's a lot of reasons for it. First of all, I'll say that a lot of my friends, spoiler alert, that have moved to New York or LA often find themselves wondering, but where's next?
Right.
And I think that's a personality type, maybe less of a location issue. I think people maybe move out of places like New York less because they can't afford it.
Yeah. It's the ultimate pain in the way that you go to make it, and yet you put that idea that you have to pay $3,500 a month in rent to make it. That's the New York City model.
So first of all, making any amount of money to do this is like an absolute dream come true. And I consider myself a success anytime I get, you know, more than a drink ticket for doing what I love. But you don't make much money, and I was willing to compromise my lifestyle to make it work for the income, for my tax bracket, which let's not go there. But this feels like a personal attack all of a sudden. am I being audited? Gulp. Anyway, don't put that out there. Yeah, I started just trying to cut back my expenses, and that's where the whole living like a nomad thing kind of started taking place anyway. And I'm lucky from living in Chicago for so long to have so many connections in other places now, where I like have so many nice people that let me stay with them and treat me like family. Even it's I'm never going to repay it. It's so overwhelming.
and a lot of people who might be listening, who are stand-up comedians or who have lived in any sort of performance lifestyle, familiar of the couch to couch concept.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes a little further with you, because as you expand and you continue to tour, you do go to different places where you may not have connections.
Sure.
And what happens then?
Also, when it comes to the couch to couch thing, one of my favorite gurus for road life, Ramon Rivas, used to come to Chicago all the time. Now he's doing huge stuff all over the country, TV and everything, but he used to stay on my couch, but only for a couple nights because he didn't want to wear out his welcome. And he taught me a few little maneuvers that keep you moving, but keep you in everyone's good graces. Just to get back to the real reason of not wanting to go to one of the bigger markets is that I feel like New York and LA have lots of ideas, and I love going places where I'm like blowing their minds because I'm a woman that's talking about sexual freedom and reproductive health and like things that they don't even know what to do with, you know? So, that's like what I'm into right now until I'm ready to have it addressed.
Right. Well, I want to talk about, you know, because this whole episode is about place, and it's about, and I've kind of been teasing it out with the idea of what's it like when you don't have a home.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to not have a home, to live a life in which you go gig to gig and the road is your home, what impact do you think that has on you? Do you feel that? Do you know it? I mean, is there emotion to it?
Yeah. I feel a little bit weird. It's honestly, you're the first person to really, I feel like, totally understand what I'm going for, because I feel like people have had a hard time even describing what's going on for me, like saying I'm moving to Texas, because I did. I moved all my stuff down to Texas, but I was there for 3 days, and then I hopped back out of Texas, and I left Chicago, but I'm back here a month later. I'll be back here in August. I'm going to go as many places as I can to make it work, you know, because I think it is important to have a home base and a sense of home. You definitely start to identify with phrasings like home is where the heart is, and I'm like, yeah for sure. And I go to the bathroom at Walmart, so there's different factors. Some of it's emotional.
That's the second half of that quote. It's home is where the heart is. And I go to the bathroom at Walmart. They just always cut that off.
Yeah, home is where the heart is, and you can sleep in a Walmart parking lot. Pro tip, you know you're sleeping at a good Walmart when they have signs up that say, you can't sleep here.
You sleep in your car enough, right? I mean, I've seen you in different spots on social media talking about, well, slept in the car last night. I mean, how often are you doing that?
Super often. And now my boyfriend will travel with me a lot, too. So that's a much different experience as far as, like, the snoring. No, the safety factor.
Yeah.
It's always been, I used to like tuck t-shirts in all my windows so no creeps could look in. Because one time a creep was looking in and that was terrifying. And I realized, as he pointed out, that with the t-shirts tucked in, I look like a creep in the parking lot for sure. It's,
that's the best way to take on a creep is to look like a creep yourself.
Out-creep them.
Out-creep them.
I am, though, getting a van next month. It won't be glamorous. It won't be fancy. It will be off Craigslist, and it will be in my budget. So,
but this lifestyle, the lifestyle of really going all road, it's something that obviously has its moments, positive and negative. And how do you find the center? How do you find balance in it so you don't go, you know, too high with the highs and too low with the lows?
Honestly, the road itself is what does that for me, because I've had depression my whole life. I have not been medicated, except for legal things that are legal now. I can say pot.
You can, It's after nine.
It's after
seven.
Nine.
After seven, you can do that. After
oh,
seven,
okay,
you can say
okay,
the word
cool.
pot, right.
I was talking about cooking utensils anyway, so I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I mean, I don't take any medication for depression, or I'm not in therapy. So one of the ways that I've tried to like focus and stay positive, because comedy is important, but being a happy person is number one for me. I really think that being on the road and driving is an excellent way to stay in the moment, because you literally have to be. You have to be very... I don't think I could do this if I wasn't genuinely entertained just looking at clouds. And I don't know if that's meditating, because I'm definitely focused at the same time. But yeah, for me, it's been something that I found, and all these little road trips I did before it started being a lifestyle and not a trip, every time I would feel this like healing thing happening every time I would go out and come back. And at first, coming back to Chicago was like so exciting because I missed it, but now I feel like there's not a lot of stuff I can do in Chicago without somebody here feeling close enough to me that they're like, oh, can you help me do that too? And so right. There's a little bit of like people don't know me as well on the road, so I feel like, you know, I can just do my best to impress them, and then they're scared to talk to me, which is, that's respect.
That's respect when they're scared to talk to you after a show,
yeah.
Or before a show.
Yeah.
Rena, if, you know, you talked about your boyfriend, and you talked about moving your stuff to Texas, is there a moment where, you know, a normal situation, people might say, hey, maybe it's time to settle down.
Yes.
In your case, is there a moment, do you see an end game to where you will pick a city and locate?
Yeah, I don't really feel like, I don't know how long anything lasts, and I don't really feel like any of the decisions that I've made besides comedy have really turned out to be permanent decisions for my life. And I'd love to do comedy forever. We'll see, you know. But as far as like relocating and stuff like that, I do feel like I'd like to drive around and see more of it and decide where I want to stay longer. But I, you know, I went in without one, and I continue to not truly have a plan.
Said with such confidence.
Yeah, because I haven't needed one. It's taken me amazing places to just try to see what thing leads to the next. And do I have healthcare? No, but I'm pretty happy. So I feel like that's mental health care. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why it's a good and a bad idea, but all of the people I look up to, I've heard them give advice like, you have to give yourself no other option but to succeed at what you're doing. And yeah. I don't feel burdened by these choices. Like, I love being out there and feeling free and sleeping in a parking lot here and there, because it's very liberating. It's very cool.
You know, before we go, give us one place that you've been that you first were like, well, I guess I'm going to Punxsutawney, Alabama, and this is going to be an experience that turned out to be one that you can't forget.
I mean, there's so many. I will say I just had one in Dayton, Ohio, where I don't know. I feel like I'm blowing their cover now, because I feel like Dayton is one of those places that you're like, oh, Dayton, have fun. And it was awesome. And the people there are so cool. I feel like it's one of those places that they just like don't tell people it's actually very cool there, because then it would be
oversaturated.
But it's pretty reachable from Chicago. And, I mean, it's not like a place to vacation, but I love My favorite is going to a scene that makes me feel like I felt when I moved to Chicago about comedy, which is like, it's like people are excited to be there, electrified. The other comics are really into it. So for this chapter of what I'm doing, like, it's really, I think my end game is to feel ready to record the album that I've always wanted to record about what I want to record it about.
Yeah.
And I haven't started.
Well, we look forward to the Rena Kalm album and life that we will see as you entertain us. The very funny Rena Kalm in studio tonight. She is at Comedy Bar right after this. You're leaving here to go to Comedy Bar.
Yes, and also you quick plug can get my book before the album, which is a book of puns. It's a real quick read It's available on Amazon. It's called Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time. Mm-hmm. And she'll be at Laugh Factory tomorrow night.
Yes.
Rena, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, on. It's the Extension 720. I'm Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN for the 8 o'clock hour. Let's talk politics. The runoff election is coming up here on April 2nd. And we need to know who to vote for. And you know what? That goes from mayor's race, that goes all the way down to the alderman and everything in between. So we have brought in studio Heather Sharone and A.D. Quigg from the Daily Line. They cover all things Chicago politics. It is great to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
We did together for the Download podcast the 50 wards in 50 minutes to right before the February 26th election.
Awesome.
It was so much fun. We rattled off every single race. It was absolutely stunning, the wealth of information the two of you had. So I'm happy to have you back so we could talk more about the runoff races that are in play. Let's start with the mayor's race, of course. As we get closer, we are within a week from election night, and tonight there was another debate and continues to be debate after debate after debate. But it seems the polls that are coming out are favoring Lori Lightfoot over Tony Preckwinkle. What do you make of this, that the polls not only are favoring her, but seem to have it in large quantity? I mean, the polls are kind of a blowout at this point.
Right. There's no sort of demographic segment of Chicago that Lori Lightfoot isn't leading at this point. She's leading sort of on the bungalow belt. She's leading downtown. She's leading on the south side. She's leading on the west side. She's leading among union members. You know, it's a potential that if the polls are right, she could enter office, which, you know, with what I'm sure she will claim to be a very significant mandate to make some pretty significant changes.
And really, AD, this is something that she's run on from the get-go. At first, it was sort of an anti-Rahm Emanuel campaign that turned into an anti-establishment campaign and seemed to be energized by what happened to Alderman Ed Burke.
Right. So she kind of came in as an outsider saying, I'm here to take on Rahm Emanuel. He appointed me to head the police board, and I'm here to criticize his entire tenure, particularly on policing and how he has treated all neighborhoods outside of the loop. And she's managed to capitalize on several events, most notably the federal charge against Alderman Ed Burke for corruption. She and Ed Burke have never gotten along. I can remember like a lot of budget hearings where the two kind of went head to head, and has said, you know, I'm not tied to anyone. I'm not of the machine, but I also know government, and I'm a competent attorney who can run this city without being beholden to anyone.
And it's amazing, too, because we were all covering it at the time, but you remember the waffling of all the candidates at that time, because they needed to say that they weren't with Ed Burke, but they needed to keep Ed Burke close. And there were these statements, even from Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President, that because she was involved in that didn't make any sense. But Lori Lightfoot came out right away and was like, this can't stand. I'm going to sweep this stuff out. And it seems to have stuck as really the mantra for her campaign.
That's right. You know, she didn't have to do what Tony Preckwinkle had to do, which was to explain why she held a fundraiser and took in $116,000 at Ed Burke's house. She didn't have to explain how she helped Ed Burke Jr. get a job at the county. And she didn't have to explain sort of, you know, really decades of working within the system to, you know, make changes where she couldn't. There's no argument that Tony Preckwinkle did exactly that. But that's a more complicated story to tell then I'm an outsider and I can come in and clean it up. And I also think that Lori Lightfoot benefited by Paul Vallis, who literally walked around City Hall with a broom for several weeks and, you know, sort of really sort of hammered home that message of City Hall is dirty, it's corrupt, it needs to be cleaned out. And I think, unfortunately for Paul Vallis, is that what people decided is that they wanted Lori Lightfoot to do that.
Yeah, it's been interesting watching this go from months ago. This will be a race, a mandate on Rahm Emanuel's two terms. Then Rahm Emanuel gets out, and then we're kind of thinking, what is this going to be about? And then Ed Burke happens, and this becomes a mandate on ethics, the machine, and a fresh perspective.
To be fair to Tony Preckwinkle, if Susana Mendoza made the runoff, if Gary Chico made the runoff, if Bill Daley made the runoff, all possible candidates that could have made the runoff, they'd be answering the same questions about their affiliation to Ed Burke. That's how powerful and connected that alderman is. So, yeah, here's my question. We've been doing a lot of these community conversations in the neighborhoods, and a lot of this conversation has around this mayor's race has been about corruption, right? It's been about sweeping out corruption. A lot of the neighborhoods feel like there's other issues that are on the table that aren't being addressed. That doesn't seem like we're getting there. We're not talking about violence in Chicago. That was a big issue that we thought would be the issue for this election. It really gets mentioned fifth or sixth. I mean, ridiculously, the last two debates, the first three questions were about Jussie Smollett. And I get the concept that that's political, but it seems like the substantive issues that people want to talk about in Chicago aren't being talked about in this race.
So there's no doubt that this has been a light on policy election, which breaks our hearts over at the Daily Line, because there's nothing that we like better than writing about policy. But the fact of the matter is, except for a few areas, Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot agree on a lot of issues, which means that the arguments are at the margins, like how best to achieve more affordable housing, how best to hold, you know, police accountable for misconduct. That's, like I said, a more difficult argument to have. You know, the other thing is that a lot of the big issues facing the city, like violence, like the massive pension debt, are not easily solvable. So they don't lend themselves to snappy, here's what I'm going to do.
Right.
So it's been more of a question of who do you sort of trust and like more to handle these questions.
AD, let me ask you this too, because this sentiment also was brought up in the communities, this not vote. And you see this a little bit in the law and order communities in the town, where it's not necessarily a vote for one of the candidates, but it's a vote against another. And it seems
anybody but.
And yeah, we saw this play out in 2016, the presidential election, and there seems to be more of that happening every single time we have an election. But how is that playing out when it comes to this mayoral election?
I think it's playing out a bit in endorsements, as well as in the law enforcement community, except for first responders who have angled toward Lightfoot. We saw firefighters angle toward Lightfoot because they said she knows we need new rigs. She worked at OEMC. She understands what we need. But you're seeing quite a few political types angle away from Preckwinkle, possibly because of past conflict,
mm-hmm.
I'll say. Not everyone gets along with Tony Preckwinkle. It's politics. You have fights with people.
You don't make it to the top of the Cook County Democrats by playing nice.
Exactly. Right. I'm curious to see how this plays out in the vote. I mean, the first round we had 14 folks, and even then there were people who were like, I don't like any of these people. So now that they have a clearer choice, I'm curious to see, number one, if turnout goes up or down.
Right.
In 2015, it went up in the runoff between Rahm Emanuel and Chuy Garcia. And if people seem energized, if Lori Lightfoot does go in, if she wins, with a big popular mandate.
Yeah, It's intriguing to me. And the last thing we'll talk about in the race is just, you know, we've seen it get pretty nasty in the last couple of weeks. We saw Bobby Rush on stage talking about if there's any police misconduct, that any of the blood is on Lori Lightfoot's hands, whatever that means. And then there continues to be this sort of opposition research that it continues to come from the Preckwinkle camp about Lori Lightfoot's tenure as a reformer as opposed to a progressive. What do we make of all this? Because there may be some kernels of truth, because I do believe that Lori Lightfoot is running as a progressive, but you could look at some of the things that she's done in the past and head scratch if you are a progressive and say, that doesn't really fall in line with my values.
Yeah, you've seen some in the police abolition community, a lot of activists with Black Lives Matter and BYP 100 say, we can't vote for Lori Lightfoot, she's a cop. because she did work in the Chicago Police Department's Office of Professional Standards, also worked on the police board, and they argued...
Former federal prosecutor,
and they argued didn't take enough action against cops accused of wrongdoing, particularly Dante Cervin, who retired before his case got up in front of the police board. That is the one area where we have seen Tony Preckwinkle try to draw distinctions.
Yeah, and, you know, and the other thing is that when you have two progressive candidates, it's a different kind of race when you have somebody that's on sort of the right side of the party and on the left side of the party. That's, you can draw clear distinctions. You know, there are clear distinctions between somebody like Bill Daley and Tony Preckwinkle, or Bill Daley and Lori Lightfoot. It, like I said, it's more difficult when you have people who sort of agree on the broad strokes of policy, but disagree perhaps on how to get there.
Yeah, right. It's the thread in the needle, right?
If you go read their public safety platforms on both of their websites, which I encourage everyone to go look at websites and look at platforms.
Homework. You've got homework, people.
They're very similar. It's very stunning. So I guess it really is down to style and the path they came to power.
All right, let's get to the nitty-gritty, the aldermanic races. We also have a treasurer's runoff as well. We'll talk about that. But the aldermanic races are why we're here, to get to the 15 races that are in runoff. We'll take a quick break here on Extension 720. We'll come back with A.D. Quigg and Heather Sharone from the Daily Line to break down the races coming up here on April 2nd. Stay with us. Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman in studio. Heather Sharone and A.D. Quigg from the Daily Line. It's time to go round the horn with the 15 runoff races for aldermen in town. I am so excited about this. I think I was excited about this the minute election night ended. I was like, oh, A.D. and Heather will come back in.
Some runoffs,
yeah. We'll talk about the runoffs. All right, so let's get right to it. There are 15 races of the 50 that ran off. And let's start with the 5th Ward. The 5th Ward, south side of Chicago, Hyde Park, South Shore.
Obama Presidential Center.
The Obama Presidential Center. Leslie Harrison and Will Calloway. What do we know about these guys?
Okay. I have a full sheet full of stats. It's got the percentage that they got in the general, cash on hand, and if they're an incumbent, the year they were elected. Leslie Harrison, 48% in the general, $200,000 on hand. She was first elected in 1999. Will Calloway, just over 25%, only $5,000 cash on hand. So
now he's running a campaign where he's not taking any corporation money. He's almost running a campaign finance type campaign where he said, you know, I'm not taking any money from anybody because I don't want to be beholden. And he's really pointing to that as an issue in the ward, saying my opponent will take money from anybody.
Yeah, developers, corporate interests, stuff like that. Will Calloway is known for being one of the lead forces behind the release of the Laquan McDonald video, running on police accountability, and kind of being a progressive alternative and a fresh voice in the ward, because Leslie Hairston has been there for a very long time.
Now, this is also an area that is the Obama Presidential Center. It's in Jackson Park. There has been some static over this because, of course, there's a federal lawsuit of whether or not it's even going to happen. But more importantly, there's community benefits agreement at the core here where Will Calloway says he wants the Obama Center to sign it. Leslie Harrison says, I'll do whatever the Obama Center wants me to do. This really is where they're breaking down.
That's more or less. She'll tell you that she's not against a CBA, but she would say that, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and you don't want to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, the issue is that Leslie Harrison is a member of the Progressive Caucus. However, she's one of those aldermen who works a lot behind the scenes, so she doesn't cast a lot of, or any really, high-profile anti-Rahm Emanuel votes. Mm-hmm. And this is a bad year to not have a big vote that you can point to and say, I opposed Rahm Emanuel. And you know, that might be part of what, you know, forced her into a runoff.
She's going to run on, and she has been running on, the idea that she has brought business to the South Shore, not just necessarily Hyde Park, because Hyde Park is 53rd Street and the university, that's all in there as well. But when you go down to South Shore, they're fighting over a grocery store, which is ridiculous. Yeah. But she's looking at the old Dominic's on Jeffrey that is, you know, has been empty for 6 years, and she's got someone coming in there.
Right, with $11 million in tax increment financing money. So, I mean, that's a nice chunk of public subsidy change, but it tells you sort of the issues that are that's facing that sort of ward with the disinvestment. I mean, that was the only Dominic's to still be vacant at this point after the Dominic's closed. It feels like last century.
And you'll hear this from a lot of aldermen, that particularly in areas with difficulty attracting business, that it does them a lot of good to work with whoever is the mayor, because it helps them bring in big developments in somewhat risky areas.
Okay, so the fifth ward is, of course, we go up the chain, it'd be the sixth ward, right. Roderick Sawyer, the chair of the African-American, the Black Caucus in the city council. A runoff, but he was, I mean, we're talking about percentage points, right?
No, three votes.
Three votes, and he would have avoided a runoff. Yes, he's at 49.97% in the general. This is an interesting race because he's another alderman who is on the Progressive Caucus but also voted with Rahm Emanuel 100% in the last 2 years or so, and has said the reason is because he's figured out a better way to work with him. He says, I go back and I help the Emanuel administration edit ordinances in a way that is more progressive, that will get more support from the city council, and in a way that is ultimately good. We're getting things done. His challenger is Deborah Foster Bonner, an accountant who is based in Chatham, where Sawyer did the worst. Mm-hmm. And she says she just wants to increase communication in the ward. She helped manage Richard Wooten's campaign in 2015, who challenged Sawyer. Wooten ran again. They ran against each other, but she won't get into what was the cause of their breakup. Mm-hmm. She got 31% of the vote.
Okay.
The other issue there is the target that closed. So at the same time that the target closed, the two Southside stores, they got a nice chunk of public subsidy money to open up a new store on the far northwest side right off the Edens Expressway, just past the junction. And that made a lot of Sixth Ward residents really, really angry.
We went to Chatham as part of our neighborhood tour. And yeah, the target was top of mind. The other thing that Kathy Cheney told us, she lives in Chatham, was that there seems to be not necessarily a flight, like, you know, the main overwhelming story in Chicago, African Americans leaving, but she talked about that it's becoming more of a transient ward, meaning it used to be homes in a middle class black community, and now it's a lot of rental properties, and they look to the aldermen about sort of, you know, keeping that stable, or it's becoming unstable in that ward. So
yeah, I talked to Deborah Foster Bonner about that. She's like, I grew up here, and I used to be able to walk down 71st no problem when I was a kid. Now these kids in the ward kind of live with an underlying tension and fear. And we've got guys on the corner without jobs. We need economic development. And what Sawyer has said is about the target specifically was, there's something exciting coming to that space. I can't say much about it, but something is coming. And we're also bringing a Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership location to the ward as well.
Maybe a Dominic's. Bring that back. All right, well, let's get one more in before we take a break for the news. What do we got? What's the next one would be 15th. We're moving up the chain. I love it. 15th.
Raymond Lopez and Rafael Yanez, a fun rematch of 2015.
Okay, so what do we know about this one? Now, Raymond Lopez, he is a there's a lot of violence in this area. That's in the 15th ward. That's
really
a big issue there.
It's a gerrymandered ward that kind of stretches from back of the yards down to Englewood,
yes.
Brighton Park.
Yeah. And not too long ago, there was a series of high-profile rifle shootings in the 15th Ward. And Raymond Lopez sort of went in front of the cameras and said, well, I'm glad no innocent lives were lost. And I think, like, in one shooting, four people were killed. And that angered a lot of people. It angered a lot of people to the point where the police had to assign a detail to protect him because there were threats made by area gangs. So he has really staked out a law and order, you know, we're going to sort of, you know, crack down on the gangs and the graffiti and that sort of thing. Interestingly enough, Rafa Yanez is a Chicago police officer. So,
he's running to Lopez's left.
Right. Who's running to Lopez's left. And Lopez has also been a rock solid 100% ally of Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who just happens to be his biggest campaign donor.
The mayor has given a lot of money in the last couple of weeks to some of the people that he, you know, that supported him during the council. The no ally left behind. But early on, Alderman Lopez was targeted as someone who was vulnerable. He got to the runoff. Does it look like he could be vulnerable?
Well,
in this
he was one where we weren't quite sure if he would make it just above the threshold. He ended with 49.7% of the vote.
So he's going to...
Generally, we think if you're above 45, you have a pretty good shot of surviving, but, you know, it's Chicago.
All right, we've only gotten through three. We still have 12 more to go. Got to speed this up. A.D. Quigg and Heather Sharon are in studio tonight on Extension 720. 312-981-7200. If you have a question about your ward, we'll get to the remaining 12 wards coming up here after the news, so stay with us.
From the corner of State and Madison, I cry. Folks glanced over, but none broke their stride. That's when I found
Extension 720. This town. Talking about the automatic races coming up here, the runoff. In studio, Heather Sharon and AD Quigg, 312-981-7200. Coming up, Scott Goldstein's going to be here. We're going to play That Used to Be. I've got addresses, and all you have to do is call up, and I'll give you those addresses. If you can guess what that used to be, you get a prize. Is that not the best idea for a game show?
I'd be terrible at it, but I bet Heather would rock.
I think I can hold my own.
Come on, how many times did you go past? I said earlier in the show, we were getting sound today. We were at Belmont and Clark, and they have that
Dunkin' Donuts.
Right, they have the monster Target there, right? Mm-hmm.
Punkin' Donuts.
80, come on. Yeah. But they have the monster Target there. That was where that Dunkin' Donuts was. And I stopped people who probably in their 30s, and I'd be like, can you tell me what that Target was? And they're like, no, it's a Target. It's been a Target the whole time I've been here. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Totally.
How could that be? How could? And I said this earlier. I was giving them history lessons. They were so annoyed with me. We went from man on the street producer to, let me tell you, what
man
it used
yelling
to be,
on the street.
Yeah. the punk kids used to come here, and this used to be a Dunkin' Donuts.
They had dogs as well.
Well, it will never not break my heart that the Barge Sun-Times building is no longer there.
Yes,
because
that's a good address,
yeah. I traveled through downtown as a high school student, and I would always look at the Sun-Times, and it was never, Tribune colleagues, it was never really the Tribune I dreamt about working for, because they were the paper of the suburbs, but it was, the gritty Sun-Times building.
Would that be 401 Wabash? Because that's
401 West Wabash.
Well, yeah. That's the North Wabash. That would be the that'd be the Trump Tower, right?
Yes.
There you go. All right, let's keep going here. Let's keep going. We're trying to get through the 15 races for aldermen in the runoff coming up here on Tuesday. Let's travel to the 16th ward. The 16th ward is next. What do we know about the 16th?
16th is another gerrymandered ward that includes part of Englewood. Where Toni Foulkes used to represent was the 15th ward, and then she got mapped out. She came in second place to Stephanie Coleman, who is the daughter of Shirley Coleman, the former 16th ward alderman. So Stephanie Coleman is now...
Name recognition.
Yes. High name recognition. She's also the Democratic committee woman for the 16th ward, and she works for Cook County Commissioner Dennis Deer over on the other side of the building.
Is there is there any better race when a committeeman and an alderman get at it? Like, that's the best when the two of them. That's just like a power struggle to end all power struggles.
Absolutely.
That's a great, that is a good Chicago story right there, because Shirley Coleman, longtime alderman there, Toni Foulkes, which gets credit, she gets credit, she's a progressive caucus as well.
Absolutely.
And she gets credit for bringing that Whole Foods to 63rd Street. She's part
of that.
That's
actually David Moore's ward in the 17th ward.
Absolutely.
That's
but
the thing
this
about
is
Englewood,
a long, that,
like,
there are six different aldermen that touch Englewood.
Correct.
But Toni Foulkes was a part of bringing that there. Mm-hmm. But it's just interesting because you could, it's what have you done for me lately versus the old school name of Coleman. That's a very interesting. Let's keep going. 20th ward.
Open.
Where's
seat.
Willie Cochran? What happened to Willie?
He had to resign.
He did.
He resigned when he pled guilty to one count of wire fraud.
Now, he went back and forth, right? He recanted his guilty plea, then he went back to guilty plea. He's been all over, but now we know it's done.
It's done.
Guilty. Yes, okay. Yes. So now there'd be fresh face in the 20th ward.
Yes,
so,
either Jeanette Taylor or Nicole Johnson, and both of them got less than 30% of the vote. There were nine candidates in the 20th ward. It was an really interesting open seat race. Another ward that touches the Obama Presidential Center, so it'll be a big deal there.
Okay, let's keep going. 21st ward, this is Howard Brookins' ward. Howard Brookins always seems to be in a runoff.
This is another rematch with Martin McNeil.
Yes.
Marvin McNeil. It's also one of those wards that, is sort of pieced together with different neighborhoods. And Brookins is interesting because he's chairman of the Education Committee, which doesn't meet all that often or do really all that much, but it gives him a nice perch to sort of be able to run another term. Probably the most media attention he got was when the FBI raided Ed Burke's next door office to him, and he came out and told reporters that, it was the FBI.
Oh, I was going to say, so he was first elected in 2003. He doesn't make it in the news lap, but he did when a squirrel...
Oh, that's right. That's the best story
ran
ever.
Ran into the spokes of his bike.
Yes.
And he crashed his bike and injured his face terribly.
But the real story is that days before that happened, he had railed during a budget hearing
about
squirrels eating up garbage cans.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was with DNA Info at the time, and I called my editor, and I said, I think we need to write this story. And he laughed so hard, I thought he was going to have a heart attack.
So Alderman Revenge Brookins, of the Squirrels.
Yeah, Revenge of the Squirrels, with Alderman Brookins in the 21st.
He was another one who got 45% of the vote, so we generally think he's in pretty good shape.
All right, let's go to the 25th ward. Now, this is Danny Solis's ward. This is an open seat. What do we know about the 25th?
So it's Byron Sigcho Lopez, who's one of the Democratic Socialists of America, who's running for the city council, one of five. And he is facing Alex Acevedo, who is a nurse and community organizer. And
the son of former state rep Eddie Acevedo.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. So it's sort of a establishment versus up and coming, sort of very progressive, very left, you know, vision of the ward. And what's interesting about the 25th is that it's Pilsen, but it's also the South Loop. So this is where the 78 new neighborhood would be built, as well as people in Pilsen are sort of coping with that gentrification
the
and displacement.
The 25th ward is everywhere. This is just like the 27th ward. It's parts of West Loop.
Yeah, South and it's, Loop.
I mean, obviously, we talk to all these wards. They have different constituent needs, but those are very diverse constituent needs for the 25th ward.
This is an interesting one where we're seeing some super PACs get involved. Largely, actually entirely backing Alex Acevedo. So we'll see if that extra money pouring in kind of helps. Both of them are evenly matched in terms of their own fundraising.
High-profile one here in the 30th Ward, longtime alderman Ariel Reboiras versus newcomer Jessica Gutierrez, daughter of Luis Gutierrez. This is one that was surprising in the runoff in the way that Reboiras seemed very vulnerable.
Yes.
Yeah, so he is the chairman of the Public Safety Committee, and he has really had to wear the jacket for Rahm Emanuel's efforts to reform the Chicago Police Department. And he has been blocking for months, 6 months, 9 months, a vote on a proposal that was part of the reforms it put in place after the Laquan McDonald scandal to establish civilian oversight of the police department. And he has just refused to hold a vote on really proposals that have a significant amount of support on the city council.
Now, the 30th Ward is
Northwest Side
is Belmont and Central, but a big time Latino power center. And Reboiras has been in line with, well, like you said, he's been obviously an ally to the mayor, but at one point an ally to Luis Gutierrez, who's Chuy Garcia. Like he has been a part of the unit, and so it's really interesting to see that Gutierrez's daughter, they've kind of put up against him. This seems like a lot of friends and enemies happening on the 30th Ward.
Yeah, I spoke to him about it, and he views it as a massive betrayal, and that he didn't necessarily do anything wrong to deserve this. It's not like he ran someone against someone else in another ward.
Signing petitions for Luis Gutierrez in his career, all that kind of stuff.
This would not have gone to a runoff had it not been for this third candidate. So both Reboiras and Gutierrez ended up with like 48% of the vote. So it was really close going in, and it's another high-dollar race where these PACs aligned with Rahm Emanuel are spending heavily on Reboiras.
That's going to be one to watch. 31st Ward. This is Millie Santiago and Felix Cardona. What do we know about this one?
So Millie Santiago is a former television reporter who has only had one term on the city council. And her opponent is an ally of a former Cook County assessor, Joe Berrios. And he sort of came up through the Berrios organization. Santiago won her seat by ousting another Berrios ally. So this is a little bit, it's not a rematch, but it's sort of an organizational rematch.
Yes. And Santiago has been aligned with the Arroyo family for a very long time. And she's also getting help from Alderman Gilbert Villegas, who was unopposed last term.
Now, we're talking politics, not mob families. It sounds like all these families and
they're
these names. It's very, but very interesting. Okay, we'll take our break here. When we come back, we've got the 33rd, the 39th, and then 40th, 43rd, 46th, and 47th, and we'll wrap up there. But let's take a break so we can get to that. We're covering the aldermanic runoffs here on Extension 720 tonight. Heather Sharon, 80 Quig, we'll be back. Stay with us. Great night tonight here in Extension 720. Always good when Heather and AD are in studio to talk about Chicago politics. The aldermanic races for runoff April 2nd. We're trying to get through all 15 tonight, and we're almost there. Let's go to the 33rd Ward, Deb Mell. Deb Mell, who ran off last time, was that right?
Yes,
or she was
yes.
really close? Yeah, she ran off.
350 votes separating her and Tim Meegan.
Right, and so this time around, she runs off again.
Yes, with someone who grew out of Tim Meegan's organization, Rosana Rodriguez Sanchez, another DSA-affiliated candidate.
And so this is another race, much like the mayor's race, where it's sort of arguing about who's more progressive.
Yes.
And Deb Mell, of course, you know, is the daughter of former alderman Richard Mell, who, you know, is a longtime machine guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has to sort of, you know, cope with that baggage.
Yeah, I would, if I were her, I would just keep playing the footage of him jumping up on the desk during, after Harold Washington died, and just let the cards fall where they fall. I think I would be like, I'll vote for her. Just by the fact of what your dad jumped up on a desk. That's what I would do, but I'm not her campaign.
So Mel has twice as much money as her, but they both ended up with about 41-42% of the vote. So this was like very evenly matched going in, and another one where PACs are getting involved.
All right, let's keep going. 39th Ward.
Robert Murphy and Samantha Nugent. So Robert Murphy is the Democratic committee person in the area, and he expected to be running against Alderman Margaret Lorino, who is one of the last standing, you know, sort of members of the great Chicago political dynasty of the Lorinos. She replaced her dad as alderman in 1994. Yeah. Her dad was first elected in 1965. So that's a dynasty. So Robert Murphy is endorsed by people like Fritz Kagi, the new Cook County assessor, and Representative Jesus Chuy Garcia. So he's running from the progressive side of the Democratic Party, whereas Samantha Nugent has the support of John D'Amico, who is Alderman Lorino's nephew.
Wow, such great names.
And is also a state representative.
Yes.
So, you know, Lorino is officially neutral, but I don't think that anybody isn't aware that Sam Nugent would, you know, sort of carry on that sort of establishment, sort of
ward services. Yes. Centrist kind
focus on public safety type
yes.
stuff.
Yes, 39th Ward. How about that? 40th Ward. Now, this is a good one because this is the floor leader, Rahm Emanuel's floor leader, Pat O'Connor, who is in a runoff, surprisingly, probably for the first time in his political career,
yes.
against Andre Vasquez, who is a newcomer, his first time coming through. But this is tighter than you would think. But Alderman O'Connor, I was looking at his record. He ran unopposed up until 2015. This is brand new territory for him.
This is the fight of his life. This is one of the most expensive races this cycle, including mayor and treasurer and the 43rd ward, which we'll get to. But yeah, he's in the fight of his life against Andre Vasquez and was in a deep field of folks basically challenging O'Connor for being part of the machine. O'Connor's been around since 1983, has raised...
Part of the Block 29.
Right,
I was
going to
say,
Block 29,
yes.
And has, you know, $780,000 cash on hand, and Rahm Emanuel...
wait, say that again. $780,000?
Cash on hand. Which, that doesn't count...
For an aldermanic race.
Yes, that doesn't count what he has spent already in this race, nor does it count...
What do you do? Just
mail, TV, canvassers. If you're Ed Burke,
you buy beanies for everybody with a Chicago flag on it.
You're just putting like little gold flakes on the flyers. Sure. I mean, geez, that's a lot of money.
Yes. Andre Vasquez, another DSA affiliated candidate, also a underground rapper mm-hmm. in his youth. O'Connor has gone after him for some homophobic and... Anti-woman lyrics from his old rap days, which
yes.
he has apologized for and said, I will focus on the LGBT community and defending women if I want.
It's amazing, too, to think about that, the forces there, because you have a Vasquez who should apologize for those lyrics. There's no doubt about it. But you have an O'Connor who politically in his history was, essentially blocking a black mayor because... Well, he was a black mayor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to me to think that the dichotomy of what you have to apologize for in 2019.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. 43rd Ward, Lincoln Park.
Yes, Michelle Smith versus Derek Lindblom. And both of them, interestingly, are totally fine being tied with Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
That's
Lincoln Park for you. Lindblom was in Rahm's policy shop and then went on to run a tech-focused healthcare company. Michelle Smith has been in office since 2011 and is just facing a ton of heat for her vote to raise the property tax.
And she also, surprisingly, I mean, this might be election-itis, but is opposes Lincoln Yards.
So she's been really sort of consistent on opposing the sort of the redevelopment of the North Branch of the Chicago River in a way that does not prioritize parkland because, you know, sort of Lincoln Park is now home to a lot of really wealthy families with young kids. And those young kids, she hears every day, don't have a park to play in. Because Lincoln Park, think about it, it is developed. There's not a lot of green space. So she's been working to preserve as much of that sort of formerly industrial land to be parkland and has sort of run into Rahm Emanuel's brick wall.
Mm. That's going to be a fascinating one.
Another super duper expensive one.
Now, Michelle Smith, she's credit for redeveloping the children's hospital there. That's like something she was
involved in. That's also been a really controversial project, because that is, you know, a really sort of tough area to drive through. If you ever have to drive through there at rush hour, you know, that's not always pleasant. And she got a lot of heat for sort of allowing a more sort of dense and for retail development to be built there.
And this probably has nothing whatsoever to do with the Alderman, but if you go down Lincoln Avenue there, and I'm just thinking of my own, and I'm sure a Lincoln Avenue address will pop up in our That Used to Be segment coming up here. But that there used to be shops and shops and shops and shops all the way from Sheffield down to Webster. And not so much anymore. A lot of vacant lots, and there's a lot of things. Yeah.
Brings up. He says, we should be having locally owned businesses filling a lot of these empty retail spaces on Halsted as well as Lincoln.
Again, I'm not sure that you can tie that to Smith. That just might be the economy. But 46 Ward, Uptown, James Kappelman.
My neighborhood.
This is your neighborhood?
Yes.
Alderman Kappelman against Marianne Lalonde. What do we know about this?
Marianne Lalonde is a chemist. This was another very crowded field against Kappelman, who's faced a lot of criticism for how he's handled development in the ward, how he's handled homelessness in the ward. I've gotten maybe 15 mailers from Kappelman saying, look at all we've done for park space. Look at all we've done for neighborhood schools. This is another expensive one. I think Kappelman has $325,000 to Lalonde's $90,000. Hmm. And he had 44% of the vote in the first round, but that's still quite a few people voting against him.
Yeah. And he's been in, of course, the spotlight because he took over for Danny Solis after Danny Solis went MIA after being unmasked as a mole for the federal government and is now the chairman of the zoning committee. He tried and failed to delay a vote on Lincoln Yards, and I think that in some ways he got the worst of all worlds because he tried and I'm sure
he
angered the mayor
and
didn't actually have anything to show for it.
And Lalonde was able to say, you handled this just like you handled development on our ward. You don't stand up for Rahm Emanuel.
It's a really interesting race because Uptown is a changing area and there's a lot going on there. And our final one, the 47th Ward, the old Gene Shelter Ward. Mm-hmm. What do we know? I mean, this is an open seat.
Right, because this is Amaya Pawar's old seat. He's running for treasurer against Melissa Conyers Irving.
Thanks for getting that in.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm a pro. So it's Matt Martin versus Michael Negron. So Michael Negron is also a former Rahm Emanuel aide, and Rahm Emanuel has given him somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000. And of course, Rahm Emanuel, who will be private citizen Rahm Emanuel, lives in Ravenswood. So, you know, whoever wins will be the former mayor's alderman. And this is also sort of one of those high turnout, good government wanting wards.
High education voters.
Yeah. And the focus has been on sort of, you know, how do we deal with affordable housing? How do we deal with sort of the booming real estate prices? I mean, this was an area that when I was in high school was a little sketchy. You maybe don't want to walk through there right at night at Lincoln Square. Now it's like, well, let me leave my, you know, $30,000 stroller right here on the sidewalk and it'll be fine. So it's a changing ward too.
Yes, and we got through all the wards. All right. Ding, 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 ding. Yay. Yes, Heather Sharon and 80 Quig in studio giving us the aldermanic runoff voting guide. You can, we'll take this, we'll put this on our website and you can take this with you. A tremendous night. And you got
please check out shy.vote if you are still undecided going in. We have information on the mayor's race, the treasurer's race, and all the aldermanic runoff.
Shy.vote. Heather Sharon, 80 Quid. Great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, this used to be a landmark Taco Bell.
What used to be where this hotel was?
Wait, is that where the McDonald's was? That is where the McDonald's was, yeah. It was, and then the people would all hang out there and they'd sell like the little merchandise. It's gone now.
That Target used to be Punkin' Donuts. Used to be the place where all the punk kids hung out and runaways and had a big parking lot.
Places I've been, Extension 720 here on WGN Radio. Time for a new segment here on Extension 720, a game show, if you will. I'd say that you've never played this game before, but if you've lived in Chicago or your relatives used to live in Chicago, you don't play it, you live it. We're calling it That Used to Be, and it's possibly the simplest concept in Chicago media history. You call up, you get on the line, we give you an address, and you tell us what used to be there. Chicago's an ever-changing world, and this is our way of paying homage to the past and giving life to what's come before. My guest tonight has been playing this game with friends and family since, I don't know, birth?
Hey, my wife says no more, please.
Scott Goldstein is best described as a Chicago raconteur. He's a regular at all the spots, and he's a longtime improviser in town. We've known each other for years. So do you want to play? We've got prizes. If you think you can guess where all the great Chicago addresses are, the great Chicago landmarks, call up and you can win. And to sweeten the pot tonight, we got a pair of White Sox tickets to give away. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to play. Scott, good to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you. There's some irony, if I understand what irony is, and I never have, in the fact that we're playing this game, and this is my first time in the news studio.
Yep.
Which, if you don't know, because you can't see us, we're not on Michigan Avenue anymore, which used to be just wonderful.
Right, right.
But now I feel like you're in a building now. It's like being a character in a Batman movie, and you're on your way up to the radio station, and you're like the guy who's like, and what will happen to the bat? This is beautiful.
This is beautiful.
You are looking over like now, Navy Pier.
You want the
and
best
Lakeshore Drive.
The best that used to be, and I used to mention this all the time in the morning, is this is the birthplace of Chicago. The mouth of the Chicago River where it meets the lake is where the settlers settled.
DuSable.
So DuSable, this is
before Kinsey took all the credit.
Exactly. 303 Swecker. Oh, that used to be DuSable's place.
Yeah, this was John Baptiste's
place. 312-981-7200 if you want to play tonight. We've got addresses. Scott's got a couple. I've got a couple. Pete's got a couple.
We've got a couple, two, three of these
to get through tonight. This has been a lot of fun. And I know that, like you said, my family plays this all the time. My dad comes back and he grew up in the city. He doesn't live here now, but when he comes back in, he's got every block we go to. He's got to be, you know, that used to be a Woolworths. Yeah, all right, Dad, we got it.
I do that all the time. I make my wife absolutely insane. She goes, look, you have to stop.
Or get a radio.
Or get on the radio. This is why I like meeting new people, because I can show them around and say what everything used to be.
I was telling Pete and the audience here tonight on Extension 720 that earlier when I was at Belmont and Clark getting some of the tape that you heard right there at the beginning, people walk by, and I'm like, did you know what that Target was? And they're like, no, it's a Target. It's always been a Target. I'm like, my head's going to explode. And then I turned into my dad. I'm like, see, it was a donut shop. It was Dunkin' Donuts. It was Punkin' Donuts. Right?
Yeah, it was around. That's where you went after you went to Medusa's, which was at Sheffield in school, and then became like a testing center, and now it's mediocre loft condos.
That's what we were trying to figure out where that was today. Another good one, 3231 North Clark Street. It's the Canela breakfast place now.
Sure. That was Cafe Voltaire.
It was Cafe Voltaire.
I remember doing, for some reason, Ike Barinholtz and I were on a Herald team that got cut, and we put on a show in the basement. We interviewed Ike's dad, Alan, for The Dream that night. That was one and only time I got to perform at Cafe Voltaire.
Yeah, you can always have that on your resume, right?
Yeah, I got all of the sample questions right.
Yeah, that's right. Pete Zimmerman's here as well. So here's what we're going to do. Well, like I said, 312-981-7200. If you want to play, get on the line now. I'm going to throw out some addresses and see if we can do this. Pete, I want to give you a couple, and I want to give Scott a couple as well. So why don't I'll start. Here we go. Let's do, all right, how about this? 5110 North Broadway. Now, this would be in the
Pasteur, the restaurant, the old
it's
Pasteur
not,
restaurant.
But that's okay. A good guess, but it's not that. 5110 North Broadway. I'll give you a hint. It's not a restaurant. It's a bar.
Moody's.
No. Not Moody's. It's close. Scott's out. Now it's up to Pete.
I'm out.
I'll give you one hint for both you guys. The band was behind the bar. The Lakeview Lounge, which was a classic go-to throwback 4 o'clock bar that was closed
down
in
the early 2000s. Wait, there's also a Lakeview Lounge. Wasn't there a Lakeview Lounge on Broadway on the 3000 block?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know, but this was the one that was at Foster and Broadway. So there you go. There's the first one.
I feel shame.
No, you should. All right, I'll give another one to you, Pete Zimmerman. How about 1517 North Wells Street?
1517 North Wells Street. That, of course, is the Bijou Theater.
No, close by, though.
That's still there, I think.
That's
like, you don't know.
I give a hint. I once bought a bong at 1517 North Wells.
Purely for experimentation. Yeah, most of the Chicago area bought a bong from there in the 60s and 70s, for sure.
End of the 80s.
Is it that fish store?
it was Bizarre Bazaar, which was a T-shirt, and that's where you got your Grateful Dead.
You could
t-shirts.
Get paraphernalia.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay, so I want to keep going here because I want people to be open to getting on here, so let's keep going. I'll give you this one. 423 East 43rd Street, Chicago's South Side. So 423 East 43rd Street, on Chicago's South Side. Pete, what do you think? I'll give you a hint.
Is it a bar?
It is a bar.
Was music played?
Music was played. Famous music.
Johnny's Blues Emporium.
So close.
I can't answer this because I know, and you know that I know, it's the Checkerboard Lounge.
Oh, yeah. There it is, the Checkerboard Lounge. So there you go, 312-981-7200. Having some fun tonight. We're about to give away some prizes, whether that be Sox tickets, if you want Sox tickets. I have some great questions for you, some addresses that are from the suburbs as well, some great Chicago history here, 312-981-7200. Get on the line now. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get you involved in the show. White Sox tickets on the line here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Playing That Used to Be here on 720 WGN. It is Extension 720. Scott Goldstein is here. You go. Are you excited tomorrow that the Cubs season gets underway? You got to be super excited.
Right? I am looking forward to it.
You feel good about this year's
season? I feel good. I feel conflicted. You know, people are making me feel bad for being a Cubs fan, and I understand. It's, you know, it's getting to a point where I liked being a lovable loser.
Right.
Next thing you know, we're going to be like Patriots fans. But even worse, Cubs fans are turning into Atlanta Braves fans, where first round exit, they're no good. This team is terrible.
Right.
We've had 490 win seasons in a row.
That's, can you even fathom that?
I can't. Their mediocre seasons now are like would have been the best thing ever when I was a kid.
So true. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. We've got addresses to get through here on That Used to Be. Exciting new simple game show where we give you tonight's premise. The whole episode is about place. And this is a great way to pay homage to the place that we live, to talk about the things that no longer are there. And it can go from anywhere from, the Target that is now the Punkin' Donuts we talked about. I was thinking the Target that used to on Ashland in Lakeview. If you're at the corner of Ashland and School,
yes,
and they had that, now it's a Target.
Yeah.
It used to be a Whole Foods.
I live two blocks from
there. Before that Whole Foods, what was it?
Before it was a Whole Foods. Okay, it was across from the theater where they turned into the Lofts. There's a... what was it before it was a Whole Foods?
It was a Weebolts.
Ah.
That was torn down. Okay, it was torn down, and it sat there vacant in the 90s, and then they redid it, and Whole Foods came in there in the late 90s, early 2000s when that went in there?
It had to be. I moved into that neighborhood in 1995 or 96.
Okay.
1996.
So this would have been, the construction
so it was about
was before
98
that.
Or so.
The construction was, I was in that neighborhood 1994, 1995 when the Weebolts went down.
I mean, that Whole Foods, that's where I learned to be a snob about food.
All right, let's get to the calls and give some good addresses for Susan. Susan's on the line. Susan's in Rogers Park. How you doing, Susan?
Great.
Are you a good address person? Do you feel good about the, are you the person your family's like, that used to be a Woolworths?
Sure.
Should we give her a Rogers Park one if she's in Rogers Park?
Do you want a Rogers Park one?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
All right, I have one for you here. 7644 North Sheridan Road.
Ooh.
It's East Rogers Park.
Biddy Mulligan's.
Yes, there you go.
There you go. Good job, Susan. You're on the north side of Chicago. Are you a Sox fan?
No.
All right, then good. I'm not going to give you the tickets. I will give you, stay on the line, but I'll give you a pair of tickets to see Little Shop of Horrors, which is playing at the Mercury Theater through April 28th. Thanks, Susan. There you go. How about that? So she got it right away. She knew it was up.
Oh, she chose Little Shop of Horrors over the White Sox.
Smoking like a true Cubs fan.
I love the White Sox.
The White Sox are going to be fun this year.
They're going to be very fun.
Yeah. All right.
Former Cub.
That's right. Former Cub. That's right. That's good. Biddy Mulligan's. I didn't know it was that far north.
It was right. It was the last stop before Calvary Cemetery. That was the last stop before Evanston.
Right. And when did Biddy Mulligan's go?
Sometime
away?
After my late teens and early 20s, because it was still there then.
Wow. How about that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Somebody knows. Call in. There's still White Sox tickets.
There still is. We have some White Sox tickets and some theater tickets to give away. 312-981-7200. Somebody on the text line here's one for you. We always joke with people about the Kmart at Harlem and Irving that used to be a venture.
There used to be a lot of ventures.
That's always my favorite, when a big box store becomes another big box store.
Venture and Zaire were like the same thing.
Venture, and in my town, I grew up in McHenry County, there was an Alco. Do you remember Alco?
I don't remember. I remember Alcoa Can't Wait.
That was the, that yeah, that was the...
They made aluminum?
Yeah, I think there was a recycling something, but this was an Alco, which was a low-rent venture.
Oh.
maybe a low-rent Kmart as well.
But Target's like a high-rent version of those stores.
Yeah, right. Target's the French version of that those stores.
Target.
All right, let's keep going here. I want to throw some at you, Scott. You ready?
Yeah.
While we wait, Pete's got somebody on the line here, but hold on 1 second. Let's try it. All right. 727 West Grand Avenue. And this is for you clubbers out there.
Funky Buddha Lounge?
No, that's so easy.
Well, I know the guy who started that club.
Oh, you did?
We went to the same high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about that?
I never went there myself. Wasn't
it was good. They had a Latin night on a Thursday. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the high school that we went to.
Oh. That's why they did it, right?
I assume.
All right, your turn. What do you got? Give us one.
All right, I got one. This is one of my favorites from growing up. If you grew up on the north side or the northwest side in the 70s, you might know this one. 6335 Northwestern.
Okay, so 6335 Northwestern.
That classic Chicago.
Okay, so
street,
let's
Western
see.
Avenue.
So Western, 6300 blocks. So that's going to be Peterson, or just above Peterson.
Just above.
So we're talking about Z Frank Chevrolet.
Yeah, very close to
okay.
Z Frank.
Right.
Almost made my list.
Almost made the list. Pete, what do you think? A 6300.
6300 Western. It's a car dealership, right?
No, it's not a car dealership. It's
not Scottie Pippen Dodge?
Nope. It was a entertainment venue, but also a restaurant.
Ooh. An entertainment venue and also a restaurant.
Yes.
That's 6300 Western.
They had a pipe organ and waitresses on roller skates. Did no one else... in this room ever go to Sally's Stage on Western Avenue? Best ribs in town?
Oh, that's good. All right, 773 wants to know, the mall on Fullerton, the one with the chunky cheese, it's Chuck E. Cheese, but the chunky cheese. What was in the now Marshalls building before Marshalls?
Okay, let's see.
See,
I know on
that.
One side, you had a GameStop there. You had a KB Toys, I believe.
I think there was a payday loan shop in there.
Yeah, there was a McDonald's across the street with a Sports Authority, Office Depot type place.
Yeah,
but
I'm not
in
sure.
The Marshalls building, I'm going to guess a TJ Maxx.
Yeah, that's a good. I would say I was going to say, if not Marshalls, then a Venture would be my guess. But that shopping mall is a 90s shopping mall, right? Or maybe 2000s.
Yeah, that was a big deal when that thing opened,
because
that was sort of a no man's land.
Yeah, we'd have to look that up. 773, if you want to tell us what it is, we would be appreciative of that.
Yeah, because now we're curious.
Now we're curious of what used to be in the Marshalls.
What used to be at the Marshalls? Tell us. Text back or try calling us.
Having fun. 312-981-7200. All right, I got some great address. I want to just throw these addresses out as like a teaser to people to call.
Enticements.
8400 West North Avenue, Melrose Park.
It's an easy one.
2500 West 95th Street, Chicago, Evergreen Park. And 155 East Roosevelt Road in Elmhurst, Illinois.
Man, those are three of my favorites all in a row.
There you go. 312-981-7200. If you know any of those, give us a call. We'll take a quick break, get the headlines, come back with more with That Used to Be here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Places and spaces I've been. On. It's Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman. Scott Goldstein is here. Chicago's Rock on Tour. You like that?
Oh, well, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Can I trademark that?
Yeah, you should. We're playing That Used to Be, the popular game that is played by everybody in Chicago.
It started tonight officially on the radio, but it's been going since
going on forever.
1837.
Let's bring in Austin. Austin, you're on the line. Where are you from, Austin?
I'm originally from Elmwood Park, and I live in Avondale with my wife.
Okay, great. Awesome.
Elmwood Park, home of Johnny's Juicy Beef.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
I'll take mine sweet hot dipped. Hey, make it a combo. Throw in a lemonade ice, please.
Sweet.
All right, you ready for an address, Austin?
Yeah, I have a guess for the Melrose Park one.
All right, let me give it to you. I'll give you the Melrose Park one. Here we go. 8400 West North Avenue in Melrose Park. What is that address?
I'm going to say it's Kittyland.
Yes, that's right. Gets it. Kittyland in Melrose Park. One of the famed Kittyland. What do you want to go? You want to go to a White Sox game?
I would love that.
All right, you got two tickets to the White Sox. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. There we go.
Also a classic Chicago neighborhood, Austin.
That's right. Yeah, he's doubled. Let's go to Josh, another classic now. Josh, Josh, where are you from?
Crystal Lake.
Yes, I love Crystal Lake.
But I actually was born in Melrose Park, pretty much next door to Kittyland.
Oh, so you know that one.
Well, that's the one I knew, but maybe we'll throw it out there. I don't know. Maybe somebody knows the hospital that's close by there or something. But
it's right next to Kittyland in Melrose Park. We'll check that out.
Is that one of the
Swedish All right, I'll give you one. Okay, how about this one? 155 East Roosevelt Road in Elmhurst, Illinois. And you can ask questions. 155 East Roosevelt Road in Elmhurst.
Oh, gosh.
I'll give you a hint, okay? Because this is one that we have hints.
All right, go ahead.
This business was made famous by commercials in the 80s.
Okay. Oh gosh.
And in the commercial, the slogan.
Say the address again.
The address is 155 East Roosevelt Road.
I believe that's.
What they do in the commercials.
New York.
That's right. It's very close to the intersection of York and Roosevelt Road.
Okay. It's got to be. Is it Filozzi Adelson Chevrolet?
You got
Where you
it.
Always we save more money.
You well, got it.
Oh, there, yeah, of course.
There you go. He used the Google machine as fast as he could. That's good.
Awesome. Well, the hints helped, and I remember that. By the way, good job bringing back Extension 720. My son and I are road tripping on spring break, and we heard you all the way out in Nebraska last week.
Fantastic.
And, couldn't believe when I heard you guys were back on.
That's awesome, man.
I listened to Milton Rosenberg before I even knew what he was talking about. So.
Well, Josh, we appreciate it, man. And stay on the line. We got some prizes for you. Appreciate it. There you go.
Thanks a lot. Good job.
Yep, Josh from Crystal Lake getting Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet. Let's quickly go to Dennis. Dennis, where are you from, Dennis?
Right now from Woodridge, used to be from Cicero, then from Elmhurst.
Okay, so you would have...
See, I like how he used to be, too.
He used to be, that's
he
right.
He used to be from there, and now he's from here.
So you would have gotten the 155 East Roosevelt Road without any hints.
Easy.
All right, let me give you one. I'll give you one down. Let me give you 2500 West 95th Street, Evergreen Park.
No, I didn't want that one. I wanted the other one that you said.
Well, we already did the Kittyland, and we also did the...
No, you didn't do North Avenue.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you didn't do North Avenue in Elmhurst.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we...
It wasn't Elmhurst.
It was North Avenue, Melrose Park.
Melrose Park.
Right. But, Dennis, you can do this one. You can do this one, all right, because it might help you, okay? So it's 2500 West 95th Street, Evergreen Park. Now, the Evergreen Park Mall is there, and that was a big mall, and that had a lot of malls. But this is next to the mall. It was not a mall. It was a theater.
The theater still exists. The theater, it just is in a completely different location.
There were extensions of it. There have been four or five different ones, but this was the famed.
There was one at the Marriott in Lincolnshire.
That's right.
That's from, I got to double check that.
Yeah.
But I think that's right.
You're right.
Yeah, and we had been there, even though I was in the South Side guy.
Yeah, it's a dinner theater.
Can I tell you what? It rhymes with Murray Payne.
It rhymes with what?
With Murray Payne.
Murray Payne?
Yeah. All right. Well, good try. You almost got it, Dennis. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, where are you at, Glenn?
I'm on the northwest side of the city in Montclair.
Okay, you're Montclair. Could you get the answer?
Drury Lane.
There it is, the Drury Lane Theater.
Wait,
I was calling for Kittyland, but Drury Lane's just as good.
Just as good. And that theater, like you said, Scott, it has different iterations. There's actually a Drury Lane in Oakbrook right now that is open.
Yes.
It was the Marriott Lincolnshire at one point.
Then at Water Tower.
And it was at Water Tower. And this was the Martinique Theater, which was the Drury Lane and Evergreen Park, which was one of the famed one. Really bringing the only place to really bring dinner theater to the Chicago area.
If you wanted to bring class to Evergreen Park.
On the South Side, does that really count?
What is it?
I say that was on the south side. Does that really count?
It does count. Yep.
South side is bigger than the north side.
There you go.
I
say that
I
as
know.
A north
side.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. Stay on the line. All right. There we go. All right. This is getting fun, right? You got some?
I got a couple. I got, do you want me to just
let's try Frank.
Get somebody?
Let's try Frank, and he can be your guinea pig here. Frank, where are you from, Frank?
I live in Geneva right now.
Okay, great. And are you familiar with the addresses, or were you just like, I know where Kitty Land was?
You got it. I work in Melrose Park, So I knew where Kitty Land was, but I'll give a stab at another one.
Okay, so Scott, where is this one located?
Well, I'll give you a choice. I have one in the Lincoln Park area, or I have one in Lincolnwood, which is technically part of Chicago in my mind.
Yeah, right.
Let's go for Lincoln Park.
Lincoln Park.
Okay, 2301 North Clark.
Ooh, 2301 North Clark. So this would be Clark Street north of Fullerton.
It would be south of Fullerton.
Okay, south of Fullerton. So right there.
I'm going to take a guess. It's close to Lincoln Park Zoo.
It's close.
It's close-ish. I could give you a hint.
Yeah.
Okay. This might give it away. It would give it away to me. This is where Tuesday Weld and James Caan, they have a meal in Thief. She works the register, actually.
This is so specific.
She works the register. They don't have a meal there together. She works the register at the place, and he eats there.
Right.
So it was a restaurant.
And it's also it's a restaurant, but it's also a counter.
Yeah.
Not real familiar. I'm going to guess RJ Grunt.
That's a great guess. That was a great guess.
Originators of the salad bar. That's about two blocks away on Lincoln Park West.
Now what is it?
But
what
I will say, I'm talking about the Belden Deli.
Ooh, a famous deli.
Yeah. We lost it, and then it became. I also would have accepted Tower Records or Max's Deli.
That's all in the same spot right there. All right, Frank. Thanks for playing, buddy. Thanks for calling in. All right. So there you go. A good round. We got a rapid fire there. We're going to use up all of the addresses that we've worked on for last week. I was hoping like this would be something we would continue and we'd only do three or four addresses, but we're just flying through these.
We have so many of these.
There are a lot more to go.
There are countless places that used to be there.
If you would like to try and stump us, you can do that as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I've got more here and some fun ones from the past. We've got 951 North State Street. Okay.
951 North State Street, so that's near Tempo.
Okay.
Near Frenchie's Bookstore, but I think both of those establishments are still there.
Okay. How about 410 West Huron?
410 West Huron.
Okay, you don't have to answer it. I want to give these to...
Oh, I got you.
Okay. And then, we did it earlier, but let's do 1800 West Grand. Wow. Get something stuck.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
There's a button you're supposed to hit when that happens.
I know, right? Yeah, wow. I get all choked up looking at these addresses. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue with That Used to Be here on 720 WGN. Places I've been. Having fun tonight, 720 WGN. We're playing That Used to Be here on Extension 720, 312-981-7200. Good, Tommy. Tommy! Where are you from, Tommy?
Old Irving Park.
Oh, okay. There we go. You got an address for Tommy? Are you good at this game, Tommy? Do you feel like you're the guy in your family?
Yeah, I lived across the alley from Sally's stage. I was scrambling to get the phone.
Wasn't that the greatest place?
I knew a lot of them, but couldn't get through.
I wanted to run away from home and live at Sally's stage.
That place was awesome.
All right, Scott. What do you got? You got an address for him?
Yeah, I got
one. I got
for
one for you guys. I was going to stump you guys.
All right, try it out.
All right. This closed business has the same address on two different streets.
Ooh.
I can give you the intersection or the address. What do you want?
Give me the address.
How about I give you the address?
Address. And we get both
North
the ad-
and an address west.
Okay.
4,000 west and 4,000 north.
Okay, so Pulaski and
Block. North and 4,000 block west.
Pulaski and Irving.
You got it. Now, what was there?
I was just there. Pete and I were just there just recently. What is it? Is it a restaurant?
Yeah.
Sabatino's.
Kind of. No, that's a couple blocks west.
That's
and that just closed
a few
months
choice.
Ago.
I know, sadly.
That was at Kilbourne.
Yeah. Okay, so...
I'll give you a hint. It was the northwest corner.
The northwest corner at Irving and Pulaski. That is the epicenter of the north side, by the way. That is the center
of the
north side.
How far away is that from Smoke? Smoke's right there.
Smoke's there. Yeah, Smoke's on Grace.
It's a block and a half north of Smoke.
Okay. Was it a Kmart?
Nope.
What is it, Tommy?
It was Buffalo Ice Cream Parlor. 4,000 North Pulaski, 4,000 West Irving.
Can I throw one at you? Can I throw one at you now?
Sure.
How about 4812 North Clark Street?
4812 North Clark. So that'd Callows?
Callows is still there, but that's a few blocks north. Across from the cemetery.
Yep.
North, just north of Lawrence on the west side of the street.
The Rainbow Club.
And the Rainbow Roller Rink.
The Rainbow Roller Rink. Before that, it was the Rainbow Ice Rink, which is where I got this scar.
It was the Rainbow Club, and that's where Larry Fine from the Three Stooges was first discovered.
There you go. Give
you
this
go.
Man something.
Oh, that's,
I'll
thanks,
tell you
Tommy.
What, I'll give that man a prize.
Thanks, Tommy. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're on the line. Gary, where are you from?
Well, I grew up on the northwest side, Montclair area, Belmont Cragen.
Oh, yeah, we were just up there as well. Belmont and Central is where we were hanging out.
Those were my stomping grounds.
Okay. There was a couple of restaurants up there that I could throw out at you, but I don't have the address in front of you. So let's...
I got State Street, I think, and I think I got you on too.
Okay, what do you got for 9? It was 951 North State Street.
51. Oh, yeah. No, before you said 910.
No, that was 410 West Huron. 951 North.
910. What was
410 West Huron, I believe, was Mr. Kelly's, wasn't it?
No, but you're flip-flopping them there. The closer, actually, Mr. Kelly's was close to 951 North State Street. I'll give you a hint. 951 North State Street is a restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant, and it now is a bank. And let's just say that the patriarch had his name in the restaurant title.
And the last name?
I was going to say, I don't know. I thought it was 910. I was going to say the Playboy Club.
That's close. But the Playboy Club was, I believe, on Walton.
Yeah.
Wasn't there one at 155 East Walton where the Palmolive building is?
Yeah, that's true.
I just meant they used to have that big Playboy sign, so you knew where the Playboy.
So you knew where it was. No, yeah. 951 North State Street was Papa Milano's.
Yeah, I believe Mr. Kelly's, I might be mistaken, but I think it's 1028 North Rush, where Gibson's is, right?
Yeah, right there, yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think it was farther west.
No, the west, I'll give you a hint. The west, this one's for you, this might be for you, Scott, as well, if you want to hang in this, Gary. The west was 410 West Huron, so that's back in that Kingsbury area. Kind of by where Burton and Terrace lives.
Yeah.
Over by the Montgomery Ward Park, by the river.
By the 500 West Superior.
Yeah. 410 West Huron, one of the original Let Us Entertain You places, and it was an Italian restaurant. And it ended not too long ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago.
I had a first date there once in 1991.
Didn't Stephen Colbert used to
Stephen Colbert used to be a waiter there.
You got me. I don't know. I have no idea. I was going to say Uno's, but I don't know.
No, it's close. Thanks, Gary. No, it is, and Pete knows it. What is it, Pete?
Scoozy.
Scoozy. Scoozy. Which is long gone now, but yeah.
We used to, at my old job, we used to get, in lieu of pay, they would give you Let Us Entertain You gift certificates. And okay. I remember going in there with like a stack of like 12 gift certificates.
You're like, this one's for 20.
Yeah.
This one's for 25. This one, they're going to say this one doesn't work, but it works. All right. So we got plenty more. Which was the other things on here? I don't want to give any more away. I have a really funny one for you. Let's do, what do you got?
Okay. I didn't get to do the Lincolnwood one yet. 6670 North Lincoln Avenue, which technically should be Chicago.
667
Lincolnwood is Chicago's nicest neighborhood.
So this is going to be 6670. So
and near the Bunny Hutch.
It's near the Bunny Hutch, and it is for recreational activities, or it was.
Oh, it was. Okay. Was it a batting cage?
No, but it was named after someone who liked batting cages.
So a baseball player.
Mm-hmm. I could I'll give you a hint. 1938 National League pennant race.
Harmon Killebrew, was that a...
No, Harmon Killebrew played for the 60s, Twins.
Yeah, 60s,
70s. American League.
No, I'm thinking about...
is a local hero, Homer and the Gloman.
Right, right. This is going to be the Cub. I don't know which one.
Gabby Hartnett Bowling.
Yeah, that's right. There it is, the bowling.
Gabby Hartnett's Bowling Alley, which was a classic. I don't know when it went down. I just one day it wasn't there. It was right up the street from the original Lou Malnati's.
Oh, right, right, right.
I mean, you could imagine there was a time in Chicago, because Lincolnwood is part of Chicago, that you could have hit the Bunny Hutch and Lou Malnati's and then Gabby Hartnett's Bowling all in one
all
day.
All in one night. Oh. Amazing. Scott Goldstein, always a pleasure. Chicago's Rock on Tour give us our push off, our inaugural voyage of That Used to Be here on Extension 720. Scott, thanks for coming in, bringing the addresses, and bringing the phone.
Guys, thanks for having me. It's always a blast.
All right. That's going to wrap up Extension 720 tonight. Coming up, Pete McMurray's here. We'll talk with him about what's coming up on his show and more to come here on 720 WGN.